Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Tie Tuesday Tie Lock coming up on this show in about 15 minutes or so. Hill Notes at 9:20. Leave one of those now on the Odyssey app on any topic. Chiefs loss last night, certainly a good topic for a Hill Note. Bruins season begins tomorrow night. That is a good topic for a Hill Note. And LeBron James. Decision number two coming at noon Eastern today.
The and decision so, of all decisions.
You can leave a Hill Note on that or on any other topic, and we will play the best ones back later. We were in the middle of the news. Courtney, what is next?
This is an irrational fear, and it shouldn't be because I will never try to climb Mount Everest.
Same.
But rescue efforts are still underway to save hundreds that are trapped on the top due to a wild storm that stranded many hikers. Hundreds have already been rescued over the weekend, and hundreds still remain.
That's wild.
Photos and videos look terrifying.
Yeah.
People talking that have been rescued saying that their group of 18 had to huddle in a small tent and had to take turns going out to get the snow off of the tent or else it would collapse. Yeah. It's so scary.
No, thanks. I appreciate it. It's incredible that people do it. I don't know if you've ever read the book or seen the documentary Into Thin Air.
No.
John Krakauer.
Which is excellent. And it details a very similar situation where they were these hikers, quote unquote, or mountain climbers who really didn't have that much experience, ended up paying. You could pay these companies to take you up there, and several of them unfortunately passed away because they just kept going when they shouldn't have. Like when you see a storm coming in, you gotta give up, but it was their only chance to summit. And so
when you see a car that says I climbed Everest, do you shake the person's hand?
Well, I've seen the Mount Washington one.
Oh, I've seen some Everest. Big bumper sticker scene.
You can buy those at gas stations.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay. I can put one on the back of my car. Don't mean I climbed it.
You go full in, by the way.
What? They do.
Where have you seen I climbed Mount
Everest? I've seen those before.
There's no such thing. There's no auto road on Everest.
I climbed, not that the car drove.
I don't think people. They do.
I've seen them. They have all the stickers on the back. I've seen those cars before.
I appreciate the attempt. It was like an attempt to be conversational, but it really wasn't.
I've seen them before. Usually the people have all those weird stickers on the back of
them. And they say, this car climbed Mount Washington. Because you can drive up Mount Washington in New Hampshire. That's why they have it.
Right. No car has climbed Everest.
I know that. That's not what I was trying to say.
I know it's exactly what you're talking about.
Whatever.
You're not crazy.
Moving on. A group of 9 rafters on Snake River in Idaho have been charged with dumping them out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mooning, flashing.
Is that out of control river or something? People are like a party river. Anything goes river. Is that what it is?
Apparently.
Okay.
But the sheriff's office is trying to put an end to it because at least one other raft when this group of 9 got arrested had a child on the raft.
Oh, boy.
So the sheriff's office released a statement saying this seems to be an increasing problem of people exposing themselves to boats on the local river. Jeez. The sheriff's office will have zero tolerance for this type of behavior, and individuals continuing this behavior will be charged accordingly.
Okay. Yeah, it's not right.
Not right. Donald Trump says
you ever seen that bumper sticker, I saw boobs on Snake River, Curtis? It's a great one.
Like chuck nuts.
Courtney's trying to Google.
People are going to be boobs out.
Yeah. I've seen a corner.
Bobes just texted me Everest bumper stickers.
Oh, Bobes yeah. is no idea.
I've seen it.
Trying to kiss your ass.
Donald Trump says that Sean Combs has indeed reached out about a presidential pardon connection to his federal criminal case. Yep. Combs was sentenced on Friday to more than 4 years in prison for his conviction on two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. Here's what President Trump said to Caitlin Collins on CNN.
I have a lot of people have asked me for pardons. I call him Puff Daddy has asked me for a pardon. Oh,
I call him Puff Daddy.
All right.
Yep. I call him Puff Daddy has asked me for a pardon.
Can we stop with the pardon thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a
slippery slope.
Like, if he pardons P. Diddy, it's a fraud. Like, the guy has been convicted of a crime. Let him serve his time. Like,
I mean, he's only going to really do, 2 years? You said he got four years? So he got 2 years time served, and he does, a year and a half?
Yeah. My question is, when was the pardon put into our Constitution? Like,
I don't know.
Why is the executive branch able to have that kind of power?
Yeah.
Like, maybe at some point early on, George Washington needed it. I don't know. I honestly don't know when it came around. But.
Because you got to have a pardon some people that shouldn't be locked up for the time that they get. Like, my wife's cousin got pardoned, and rightfully so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He got a pardon from the president?
Well, I think it was not actual president, but they pardoned.
Was it the auto pen?
No. Oh. It was back in the late 80s.
This car got pardoned.
It's back in the late
did
80s,
you,
early
did
90s.
Did you sign it and misspell
no,
Joe Biden?
No. Oh, let me tell the story so people will understand.
Well, according to Google AI, the pardon became established in 1787, and Washington used it in 1795 when he issued amnesty to participants of the Whiskey Rebellion.
Oh, thank God.
So what it was is because back in the late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s, if they were basically putting you under the jail for crack cocaine, not regular cocaine, you didn't do as much time. So what ends up happening is now you have these nonviolent criminals who were getting 60, 70, 80 years for small amounts of crack cocaine, which they didn't even have to have caught you with it. And so ultimately what happened is the president now, I think Biden was the one who did it and said, these people that were nonviolent offenders who basically got way too much time, we're going to let those people out.
Is Mark Sanchez eligible for a pardon?
No, it's a violent crime.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like just to say we should all get rid of the pardon. It is the dumbest thing in the world.
Agree.
It's ripe with fraud. Like if you get a guy out of jail, you know you're getting some payback. Like
I call him Puff Daddy.
Why do you say I call him? Everybody knows who Puff Daddy is. You always say that if you said Sean, you idiot.
Today is National Taco Day.
Yay!
Now you may be confused because it used to be October 4th, but then Taco Bell pushed for it to be moved to a Tuesday.
Oh, brilliant move by the Taco Bell people.
Yep.
So
here
it's
we
always
are.
What is it? The first Tuesday in October?
Correct.
Okay.
Taco Bell is offering deals today for members of their loyalty program on the app. And I was going through looking at other places, like you could go to any type of fast food taco joint and there will be some type of deal. And then locally, if you want to go to a restaurant, I know Loco is having at both location Taco Tuesday half price tacos. So
and you don't see the LeBron connection?
Could be that
because he's like a major.
He's becoming part. He's like bought into Taco Bell.
Yeah, he's like the major sponsor.
There's
endorser.
No way,
Courtney. It's Taco Tuesday.
It makes too much sense.
He's the major. He's in all of the Taco Bell commercials.
But there's no.
He's been trying to say I need to get this trademarked. Like you don't like see the.
I hear what you're saying. I just
Taco.
Don't think that you tease. You tease something
Taco
like that.
Tuesday.
Maybe he is going to announce that he's becoming a partner, Wiggy, in La Pollos Hermanos. Was that the name of the place?
Pollos Hermanos.
Breaking Bad?
Yes. My question is, when you get to a Mexican
Mustafa.
Spot, what? Do you order tacos when you go out for Mexican? Because I
yes.
Really?
Well, I like fajitas.
Right.
Same.
Yeah.
I generally like fajitas.
But the street tacos are good, though. Some places have good ones.
I don't like the hard shell should be eliminated from availability in all.
Preach.
So wrong.
Preach.
It's not so good. It hurts the roof of your mouth when you eat it.
It falls apart. A chip. What are you talking about?
The flour tortilla is the go.
So the flour tortilla is better, but a flour tortilla around a hard shell taco is
really good.
I'll tell you also what doesn't belong on a taco ever, and it has become increasingly popular, and that is cilantro. No, thank you.
I'm not a big cilantro.
What are you one of those people that cilantro tastes like soap?
No, people are putting all kinds of things that don't belong on tacos on tacos.
But cilantro's fine.
So you don't like pico?
Like black olives?
Oh, no.
No, thank you.
Gross.
No.
Then just don't eat that kind of taco.
Pineapple? No.
Oh, sometimes.
No, not on a taco.
I like the fish taco, maybe.
I like the little corn stuff.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Little corn. Like a elote.
Nope. I do love a good like mango salsa.
Broccoli, radish? No. Nope. Not on a taco, please. That's not a taco. That's
pickled radish sounds really good.
That's like a veggie wrap that you're making with a flour or corn tortilla.
Well, that's what I was going to say, though.
It's not a taco. It's not in the category.
The flour tortillas end up being kind of like a wrap.
No.
And they're harder to eat, I think, because they just
fall.
Yeah, the stuff all falls out the back end of it.
Every time you take a bite of a hot taco, the whole thing falls apart.
That's a bad taco.
The stuff falling out the back end is when Greg gets home. Yeah.
And then, Shime, you can't say, well, wrap it in a soft one because that defeats the purpose.
Well, no, I'm just saying the combo of the two is really nice.
Well, the combo is different.
I agree. The soft shell taco is the best. I'm just saying hard shell tacos are also good.
When wrapped.
Okay, is that it?
One more quick thing.
Yeah.
48-year-old Devin Lucia, Louisiana meteorologist, has been accused of breaking into his girlfriend's home and beating her up while her child slept nearby on Sunday.
This is awful for the profession.
Yeah, Curtis.
Really bad.
Fellow weather smoke in trouble here.
Yikes. Yeah, the duo had attended a festival together and then left separately after a bit of a dispute.
Uh-oh.
The mom of the girl driving her home, then he showed up. And
not a good mugshot for this guy. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Terrible.
They headed the waterfall.
Terrible.
Where can I find it?
Can we get Jackson? Well, you can't see it on Twitch or on YouTube. Can we get Jackson to reenact the mugshot?
Go ahead, Jack.
Please.
We're going to have to draw two red lines around his nose because she fought back, as she should.
Yeah.
But he is placed on leave by the station
as the investigation
unfolds.
No forecast for a while from him. All right. Courtney, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday. And now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Chiefs fall to the Jags. Final score 31-28. The final in Jacksonville. A wild pick six in this one when Devin Lloyd picked off Patrick Mahomes and returned it for 99 yards in the third quarter. This one ended with Trevor Lawrence rushing it in for the go-ahead TD, but not without a fall to start the play. It was a wild night. Here at home, we have an update on Antonio Gibson. He unfortunately did suffer a season-ending torn ACL. And over to the Bruins, who announced they will be retiring Zdeno Chara's number. Number 33 will be retired on January 15th ahead of the Bees game with Seattle. And it could be over for the Yankees tonight. They have game 3 with the Blue Jays in the ALDS in the Bronx. New York is down 2 games. First pitch is at 8:08. And in the spirit of Halloween, Awaken 180 is offering free consultations all month long. It's scary how easy losing weight can be. Find out if Awaken 180 is right for you. And for free, call to book your free Awaken 180 consultation at 844-346-1800. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got Ty Law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. By Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. And by 110 Grill. Visit one of the 34 locations throughout New England for modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. And speaking of trendy and speaking of casual, here is the great Ty Law. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. It's, hey, great, great day today. Ty Tuesday is great. We all positivity. We got to talk about some of the BS, though, but it's all positive today, man. That was a great win.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's get to the positive. We'll save the BS for later. But, I mean, that is it's being called a signature win. It's got Wiggy declaring that they're going to win the division. It's got Shime declaring that Drake May is going to be the MVP. So should we pump the brakes a little bit, or is this a huge signature win for the football team?
No, that is a huge, huge win, Greg. Guys, I can say this. Drake May, he keep playing like that. I don't know. I'm going to slow down on MVP, but he going to the Pro Bowl. He keep doing that. We got us a Pro Bowl quarterback on our hands, everybody. So, I mean, I'm so excited about what they're doing and how they pulled that off. Like I said last week, you got to go out there and beat the team. You know, they're the team that everyone was talking about, so they put on a masterful performance as far as a good team win. But Drake May, man, I ain't getting tired of saying it. That's the real deal right there, man. We got us a damn quarterback.
Yeah.
And 15 years. As long as he stay healthy, 15 years, we got us one.
And the reason why, Ty, I say I like their chances in potentially winning the division and is because when you look at their schedule – they only have really 2.5 hard games. They got at the Bucks and then the Bills again at home. And I throw the Ravens in there, but I don't know what the Ravens are going to be because of the injury on defense with all those guys and Lamar. So when you look at that, even if you want to say they got 3 really hard games left,
that's it.
That's all they got left.
I agree. Like the Ravens, they ain't looking about nothing right now. So, I mean, I can see the Patriots, they can sneak up in there. I don't think they're going to sneak up. They're going to kick the door down, and they're going to make the playoffs. You know, if they can pull it off again, especially they get them at home now to get Buffalo later in the season. Hey, they could win this division. I'm excited for them. They got to fix that defense now. I mean, we going to stay positive. I'm going to try to stay positive. But they need to fix some stuff on defense, man. Every time, I don't know why, Wiggy, that they do not get up in guys' face and challenge them and play tight coverage. And when they did play tight coverage, that's when they got the interception. You know what I mean? I was watching them. So I'm like, they need to just, you know, trust themselves, trust the defense, and just play man to man. Play it so damn soft. I can't stand when I see corners playing so soft. I mean, it really makes my blood boil, guys, so I apologize.
But, Ty, how do you make sure if you're Mike Vrabel or the leaders in that locker room that you don't get so high off this win that you now look at a Saints team that you should beat and maybe play down to them? I think that's been a problem with this Patriots franchise for the last couple of years where they play down to opponents that they're better than.
I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to let that happen because he's going to bring you back to reality when you go in there because everybody's riding high right now. But I guarantee you the low lights is coming. They're going to have the low lights, and he's going to put it on there, so don't get too up. Let's enjoy the win, but he's going to show some plays that they should have got back, and he's going to put you on blast in front of everybody. So it was not a perfect game, but I want to send a shout-out to Stephon Diggs, too. That's how you play when you play your former team, man. And I told you, Wiggy, mm-hmm. he's getting his swag back. Yeah, I told you. I mean, you might not necessarily need that number one guy that you think you need, because Stephon, he's getting that swag back right now, and I love the way he played.
If he can play like that all year, you know, I mean, he might not be the dynamic number one, but he's a legit number one if he can continue that.
Absolutely, and the way that Drake is playing and he's spreading that ball around like that, I mean, even when we say Tom Brady-esque, and we said it, guess what? On the stat sheet, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but the toughness that he displayed when he was getting hit, and then I love how he gets up just like Tom. Ain't gonna He gets right up. He don't get up slow. He just get up right up like ain't nothing happened, man. I love what I see from this kid.
Another fumble from Ramondre Stevenson, and then you've got Antonio Gibson out for the season with the ACL. What do you do there?
That's where I was coming with the bull crap. So, yes, Ramondre Stevenson, yeah, you got two touchdowns, man, but you got to stop. You got to stop turning the ball over. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. You know what I mean? For him to go back in and give you the ball because someone else was down. But, I mean, you don't want to lose trust in the locker room, and you're on your way if you haven't already lost that trust, especially with the offensive coordinator and head coach. But they're going to have to go out there and get another running back because I don't know if we can trust him. You know, because this is not a this year problem. This has been a problem for a couple years with him. And I love the way he plays, but right there, you lose value, you know, when you get the ball back.
Ty, what do you think it is with Vrabel? Like, and I kind of asked him this question because you know how it was when we played with Bill, like, you do that, you're going straight to the gulag, in the hole, we might not see you for the rest of the season. But Mike has done a good job of giving guys a little bit longer leash. And I asked him, is that because he's a former player and he kind of understands the difficulty and what comes with playing the game?
I think that, yes, as a former player, because, you know, you expect so much, you know, out of yourself. And when you have a coach that hasn't played, because I've had to tell a coach, Bill, before, it's like, hey, have you ever covered Randy Moss? Do you know what you're asking? You know what I mean? You know, on certain situations, on this technique. So sometimes, you know, when you get a coach who's never played at this level, he is just a coach. I don't care what you've seen before, but Mike Vrabel being a player, he knows what Ramondre might be feeling. So he's trying to give him, another chance. You know what I mean? You got to redeem yourself. But at the same time, you can't hurt the football team. So you have a player's coach who's been a player at that level. He's fought hard to get where he's at, you know, as a player and as a coach. So, yes, Ramondre, he better be happy. Yeah, he doesn't have Bill Belichick, I tell you that, because he wouldn't be seeing the field like this and getting other opportunities. So I give all the credit to Mike Vrabel for sticking with him and giving him an opportunity to try to get his confidence back.
Ty, Mahomes and the Chiefs are 2-3, rough start to the season. Do you think that this is the year the end is coming for their brief little dynasty here?
Absolutely. I don't think that they're not looking good. Anything can change. It's still early in the season, and we can't forget that is Patrick Mahomes over there, and he shows some signs that he still got it. You know, I think, you know, Travis Kelce, he's getting a little bit longer in the tooth, but he's still, you know, productive. But it just isn't the same spark that it used to be. Defensively, they're not as strong. So I think that they're on the downside. If they can pull it off, this will definitely be their last time, but I can't see the way they're playing right now, and the teams that are getting better, I can't see anyone fearing Kansas City at this point. They struck fear in people before they stepped on the field. You can see that teams are not afraid of them anymore. They're not worried about the big names, the Kelces, the Patrick Mahomes. They're not worried about that. So I think this is the end for the Kansas City Chiefs.
We were talking earlier about A.J. Brown being unhappy in Philadelphia, and You're a guy who from time to time may have attempted a public negotiation, a renegotiation or two. Does bringing a guy to a team like this worry you at all, or do you feel like Wiggy was saying earlier, change the scenery and guys are completely different, and Steph Diggs is an example of that?
Absolutely, bringing. If you can get A.J. Brown and pair him with Stephon Diggs, bring him. And then, you know, A.J. Brown knows what he's doing. He know he just got that new contract guaranteed a lot of money. And if you look at it, it's like, hey, every receiver wants the ball. So he's not doing anything that no other receiver would do in the same position. You know, I mean, Keyshawn wrote a damn book about it. Come on, throw me the damn ball. Now, that's going public. You know, he's trying to write a bestseller about it, but that's just the receiver position, and he wants to feel a part of the game. So if he's not, he's going to say something about it. Hell, he got enough, like I said, he got enough guaranteed contract that he can say what he want to say, and they just going to have to deal with it.
Ty,
I got one question for you guys, too, because, I mean, I just want to throw this out there. Who the hell is the guy that is a charge of the game clock. Because, you know, when they left 1 second on there, somebody need to call that out. You going to tell me you going to push the button right at 1 second to stop the clock instead of just, well, nobody even missed that. And you gave an opportunity for us to score. So shout out to the guy in Buffalo who run the score clock, you know, on and left 1 second on there. We appreciate you, man, whoever you are, man. From all Patriots fans everywhere, we appreciate you. But I know, don't take your ass outside in Buffalo because that was just dumb.
That Hunter Henry should have, like, that was on him, I thought, in that play where he waited to turn around. You had to know there was only 4 seconds because Drake threw it right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I was shocked there was still a second on the clock when they let them kick the field goal. But Hunter Henry played
no matter what happened on that. No matter what happened on that play, the guy who pushed the damn button.
Right.
You didn't even have to push the button to say 1 second. Just let it go. You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, thank you. Thank you, because I didn't understand that one.
Yeah.
Time for the most entertaining play of the game, which is brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. What do we want to have in the running here?
So I think Ty brought up earlier the Marcus Jones interception should be up there. I think that absolute laser beam to Stephon Diggs on the rollout.
The Steph Diggs rollout. Yeah. That pass was and he waited for him, and he was under pressure. Yep. That, to me, was the play of the game. But you're right about the interception.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that one, Greg. And you can see that, like, the veteran, you know, player that he is. So, you know what? Get open and get downfield. You know, and the way he toe tapped a couple catches out there, man. Stephon was on fire. I mean, 10 catches, man. Hey, that he's going to be great, you know, for Drake May. He is going to be great for him to have that veteran there. So, again, Wiggy, if they get another wide receiver to pair with that, man, Patriots, man, we got a chance. Anything happening in the new season in the playoffs, you never know how deep they can go.
Right.
I want to
stay healthy.
Since Wiggy and Chime have already booked the duck boats, I want to get you on record here. So on October 7th or whatever it is today, do they win the division? Yes or no, Ty Law?
Yes. I'm going yes. I say they can win the division because, I mean, think about it. The Jets, nothing. Stank. Only thing they have to worry about is Buffalo. So now they, you know, they feel confident they can go out there and beat them. You know, of course, they're going to get better as well. I mean, who else? It's no one to worry about but Buffalo in the division.
Yeah. The Jets stink. Miami stinks.
Okay. And is Drake May the MVP?
Of the season for the whole NFL?
Yeah, that's what Chime said in his lead this morning.
I said he can be. The way he's playing, and normally, especially recently, it just goes to the best quarterback on the best team, and your schedule stinks. If you win the most games and win your division, there's a chance he is an MVP candidate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he might be in the conversation, but no, because even with a great performance like this, they're still going to look at the stats. You know, even with this great win, zero touchdowns. At the end of the day, they're going to look at those type of things too. And then when you have another team that's going to be in the playoffs and you look at Josh Allen and you look at some of the other quarterbacks, they're going to have the numbers as well. It's not just about wins and losses when it comes to quarterbacks. It's the numbers. And sometimes we get caught up into the stats. So I just don't know if his stats, you know, are going to be like if he doesn't score more touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Again,
but
last
I agree
year,
that he's
going to
be in the conversation.
Last year, Lamar had way better stats than Josh Allen. Josh Allen was still your MVP because he had more wins.
Look at how he was playing, though. Like I said, it's not all about stats. It's everything in totality. But you still got to have stats to back it up. I don't know how his stats are going to be at the end of the day because he spreads the ball around. But you still got to put touchdowns out there. You got to do that. You know, decrease interceptions. He doesn't have a lot of interceptions, but you have to have touches. I would love to see him get MVP. I would absolutely love it, but I just think it's a little too soon to start talking MVP. I can say Pro Bowl. I'm very confident in saying that we have us a Pro Bowl quarterback in New England, and, you know, Tom is gone, so we have something to look forward to in the future, and we got our guy.
That is this week's Drake Take from Ty Law, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. All right, Ty Law. Well, it's exciting. I mean, that is undeniably a big win. There continue to be the naysayers who tell me the Bills just blew this one, and everybody has an off week, and that's all it was. So we shouldn't get too excited about it.
No, the Pats.
Yeah, well, we deserve to get excited around here. Like I'm excited. Look, I'm on the West Coast. It's 5:30 in the morning out here, right? I'm excited. I'm ready to go work out or something. The Patriots, I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait to get back there to tailgate. It makes it more fun for everybody. I'm tired of talking about what they should have done, what they could have done, and reminiscing about the old days. Damn it, we can talk about the Patriots right now, Mike Vrabel. We gotta give them their flowers. Now, we gonna bust them down if they don't play well, but we got to give them their flowers today.
All right, Ty Law, it is always a pleasure. Great to hear your voice. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Later.
Rex Ryan says the difference is not Drake May. The difference is Mike Vrabel, my coach. My coach of the year in the NFL, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I think Vrabel has definitely unlocked Drake May, or maybe Josh McDaniels and what Drake May is doing, decision-making, putting him in the right position. So, like, you could always give credit to coaches for that. Coaches can make quarterbacks, but they can also break quarterbacks. I think Vrabel, it's about the culture and maybe the way that these guys are buying into it.
That's what I was going to say, is Vrabel's more culture-based, whereas Drake May, you should just give him credit himself because this is his second season. I know he didn't play all season last year, but he improved. He didn't have that sophomore slump where he came in and was a different guy than we saw the first season. He built upon the skill set that he already had. So
that's Josh, on Drake May. But that's Josh.
But it's also on
Drake. No, and I'm not taking that away from Drake, but I'm saying it's, you know, is Drake May the same guy without a good offensive coordinator?
But I think Vrabel deserves some credit for that, too. Like, I think Josh deserves a lot of credit for the mental makeup that Drake May now currently has. Like, we could all see Drake May was athletically gifted when he came into the NFL, but his current mental situation, like how confident he is, what he's doing on a down-by-down basis, I think Mike Vrabel and especially Josh McDaniels get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah,
I feel like Vrabel really timed this perfectly because you didn't replace Bill, you replaced Mayo. You have consecutive four-win seasons before yours, and you were allowed to play the quarterback that everybody knew was the future starting in week one. And the runway that he's been given, the coaching staff he has, the budget that he's been able to use.
Yeah.
And the, as of right now, five games in, looks like the first draft pick of Vrabel's tenure was a home run.
Right.
I mean, we were talking about Will Campbell. Who could forget the breathless anxiety from Andy Hart every afternoon about how bad he was? And the offensive line is the worst in the NFL. Remember that?
Yeah.
No,
we don't ever talk about that anymore, do we?
The biggest compliment that you can give a guy playing that position is you don't hear his name.
But you
do not.
Where do those people go? What happens? Does Andy Hart say I was wrong? Like, I mean that. Like,
I hope so. A lot of credit to Doug Marrone with that offensive line.
But think of all the coaches here. Doug Marrone, former NFL coach. Josh McDaniels, former NFL coach. You have a staff that's actually experienced with the quarterback that's ready and a roster that's improved. I think Vrabel had a perfect timing to get back here, and I think he's exactly what the team needed.
Well, and he inherited a roster that was bereft and was able to, you know, I don't underestimate the value of some of the veteran guys that he was able to bring in that that he was familiar with, and they're guys that he likes and guys that play the way he wants to play. So.
Do you remember the Andrew Callahan tweet that Drake Maye was sacked like 82 times in a practice? It's like, maybe don't take it so seriously. If you can't actually hit the quarterback and he's not really allowed to walk away from pressure, maybe it's not the same as a sack in an actual NFL
game. It's really Vrabel's guys, because if you really look at it on both sides of the football, it's other than two guys, Drake Maye, who was here before Vrabel, and Hunter Henry. But the rest of it is really about Vrabel and the guys that he brought in. On the offensive side of the football, you talk about Will Campbell. You talk about Jared Wilson, the other rookie. You even talk about the center, Bradberry. You look at Moses at right tackle.
Four out of five guys he brought in.
Steph Diggs at your wide receiver position.
Well, and I give credit to, you know, certainly to Drake Maye and to Steph Diggs when it comes to the development of that relationship. Mm-hmm. But probably Josh McDaniels gets a lot of credit on that.
Josh gets most of the credit.
How are you going to say most of the credit, though? Because all offseason, it was Drake and Steph meeting up. We saw so many photos, videos of them taking the time. Josh McDaniels wasn't there for that. That relationship... I'm just saying that relationship started far before preseason, and it was
what relationship?
The relationship between Drake and Steph, the relationship Drake continued to build with Hunter Henry, other guys that were meeting up before any coaches were involved.
Yeah, but he was probably meeting with Josh before.
But Josh wasn't there when they were cultivating that relationship.
No, I'm not talking, but that's routes versus air. That's just about running routes.
They made the effort to build upon something, and that's credit to
them. Right, but they were doing that last year. Every year, quarterbacks...
Steph Diggs wasn't here last year.
No, but every year, quarterbacks and wide receivers, they get together as a group, they go out there, they run routes together, and they build this relationship. But at the end of the day, it's about that offensive coordinator and that quarterback coming together and the offense that's put together.
But Shime told you he stinks.
Well, I still think on a down-by-down basis, Josh McDaniels' play calling is average. Like,
down
I don't think
by
it's great.
Down
but
basis.
But when you take
you
into account
hooked me.
When you take into account all of the stuff he has done with Drake off of the game field, I think that is where you get the value of Josh McDaniels. The understanding of the game, the understanding of situations, the understanding how to run an offense, I think that's where Josh McDaniels has his value.
And when you hear Brady talk, and this is if you watch Brady and he does the broadcast, and when he talks about quarterbacks and how they can throw their receivers open, how they could put the ball in the right place, and he accredits a lot of that to him and Josh's conversations, those are the things that I'm talking about that Josh McDaniels is doing for Drake Maye. Hey, when we're running, you know, the back pylon, make sure we're throwing the ball here.
Please don't bring up the back pylon.
Just use that as an example.
I don't want to hear back pylon.
I'm just
again.
Using that. No, Wiggy's great. Wiggy's definitely right.
I'm just using that as an example. So what he's doing is teaching Drake Maye, okay, here's where we need to be. Here's where we need to go with the football. In this situation, make sure that you're looking the safety off. Like, these are all the things that Josh McDaniel is teaching Drake Maye. And I'm not saying Drake Maye doesn't have the talent, but you see when you have a good offensive coordinator.
Can you give him his S also? The man has lived his whole life with an S. Give it to Josh McDaniels. All right, give him the S.
Well, it gets confusing because Mike McDaniel right. And then Josh McDaniels.
I like Dropkicks Murphy. That's my favorite.
Mr. Josh McDaniel.
But, put the S on it.
Greg, I also think...
Put the S on his name.
Yeah, I always put the S on McDaniels.
Well, you just didn't. Right. I mean, put the S. No. Give the man his S.
Right. He's been so big, he has to be plural. Yes. Greg, the other thing is the existence of McDaniels on the staff has really helped make the absence for health and, you know, obviously fighting cancer for the defensive coordinator, I think, more manageable for the organization, because Vrabel, I'm sure, has been spending a lot of time game planning with the defense, knowing that the offense is under in control of the hands of Josh McDaniels. So, because we all thought, I mean, just think about where we were after week one.
Yeah.
And how demoralizing that Raiders game was, and where they are now. And the other thing is, should people not react week to week? Like, should you just say the same thing regardless of what the outcome of each game is? I find that to be fascinating. Like, did anybody think they would win the way they did Sunday night?
No.
okay, what was the one thing we hadn't seen from
Drake
Nate May?
Well, Nate Burleson did.
Well, that's right. Well, he's much smarter.
Yes, he did.
What's the one thing that Drake May had yet to do prior to Sunday night?
Fourth quarter comeback.
What is the toughest environment Drake May has played in so far?
Last night, or Sunday night.
And he was able to do the one thing he hadn't been able to do against the best quarterback he's facing in the most difficult environment to do it, and we're supposed to say status quo?
Yeah.
No, like, you base it off of what you see week
to
week.
You get excited.
Right. Yeah. It's so
So
silly.
If the next 3 weeks they lose, then you'll go, oh, man, what the hell is going on here?
It'll be an absolute disaster if
right.
that happens.
And Courtney was right, and that was the Bills' one wonky loss of the season.
Right. But we'll view it as that, and we'll talk about it in that way. But our expectations now, or at least my expectations are, the next 4 weeks, you beat Tennessee, you beat the Saints, you beat Cleveland, and you beat Atlanta, and then you go down to the Bucs, and, okay, that's a game. You can win, but if you lose that game, no big deal.
Right.
You should beat the absolute bag out of the Titans in 2 weeks.
I don't care how it is. I don't care if it's by 2 points or 20. If you win these games, it's a win. You can't have any – this is not a contest where you can worry about how things appear.
Yeah, I don't really care how it is, but they should win. If they win, like you said, Curtis, the next four games by a combined 5 points – I got no issues with it.
Right.
You go to Tampa, and that's a game that, all right, hey, maybe you lose that game by a field goal or a touchdown, and then we look at that game and go, okay, here's why they lost. They could have did this better, this. And then you go your next games, and you go, all right, the next real challenge that you're going to have is against the Bills at home.
And I want pressure applied to Kraft by the fans and the media the way we do it with the Red Sox. They have a month or so before the deadline.
Less than that.
They have more cash than you could ever need. They have clear needs on the, you know, skill position, line, whatever you want to say. It would be inexcusable for them not to pursue a wide receiver.
Running back,
yeah. Which shouldn't take much. Like, they should absolutely be adding between now
and then. It would be right after the Falcons game, heading into Tampa Bay is when the trade deadline would be. And that would be your position to say, what are we doing here as a team moving forward? Is there a position we can improve on? Is there an area of the football team we need to get better at? Who we call in to see if we can get – because I remember when the Pats did it. Oh, man, I don't remember what year it was. But a major difference that year is when they went out and got Aqib Talib.
Yeah. Huge.
And so, like, that was right at the trade deadline. And he played a major role. I think he helped you win a Super Bowl, correct?
I believe so.
You know, it's been so long ago, but
I think that was in the drought between Super Bowls. He might have helped you get to one.
Okay. All right. But yeah. He was a guy that you needed help at the cornerback position. So maybe that's something that you kind of look at. Hey, guess what? If Steph Diggs looks like the old Steph Diggs, maybe you don't roll the dice and go get a wide receiver.
Yeah,
maybe
he did not win.
Maybe you feel good about it.
Right. And no matter what they do, when it comes to receiver, trade whatever the pick is. This is now an organizational failure for 25 years. You cannot draft receivers. So use a draft pick for a known commodity at that position.
I don't know. Tyquan Thornton looks pretty good. All right. Still to come, Hill Notes at 9:20. Leave one now on any topic on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best ones back coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.